That song was really about salvation. You can only get saved if you choose to be saved. For God so loved the world, He loved everybody. God gave His Son Jesus to die for our sin. But you have to choose whether or not you believe that or not. And so again, I hope there's been a time in your life you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important thing, that's for sure. Listen, I want to talk to you about this idea of overcoming for just a moment here. I know there's all different kinds of people here. When I was growing up, my father was not a sports addict. In fact, I've never in my life watched a sports game with my father. In fact, to this day, I don't know that I think maybe one time a preacher asked me to sit down and watch a football game with him. And I think I've probably watched the majority of them. That's probably the only time in my life that I've actually sat down and watched something on television like that. I always like to play sports. Watching it's fun, but it's not near as fun as getting out there and doing it. I'm turning to that age, though. I think I'm going to start like watching the game. But, you know, my father did not put this in us per se, but there's just something about playing a game you want to win. All right. So there's three or four of us like that. All right. The rest of you, you're just a loser. All right. I'm just teasing with you because obviously the majority of people aren't like that. But if I'm going to play anything, I want to win. And that's really what we're talking about here. The scripture here says, he that overcometh, the person who is the overcomer is the person who gets the victory. It's the person who actually wins. This word actually means to subdue, to prevail, or to win. Now, I want to tell you, I'm not trying to be down on you this morning, but can I just tell you, if you don't have a physical want, no matter what game you win, you ought to have a spiritual want for whatever you do that you want to win. I'm amazed. I come across people like that. And of course, people who do not have that winning attitude, they criticize people who do. All righty. I still have a hard time in my mindset. I had a person come to me and said, Pastor, my son is playing. If I remember correctly, I don't know if it was a city league or something, but they were younger boys that were playing. And in the city league, they would not keep score. They're playing a game. Okay, you're not surprised by that. I'm surprised by that, all righty? But I want to tell you why they're not keeping score. It's because they don't want anybody to be a loser. I think we're changing the message this morning. You guys are just too quiet on me, all right? There ought to be something inside of us that wants to win, that we want to be the person who's on top of something. And by the way, I know you say, Pastor, we're in church today as far as to get a Bible truth. But can I tell you that a lot of times Christians are not what they're supposed to be is because they don't mind losing. Spiritually losing. And we're in a battle. And yes, it's the world, the flesh and the devil that are constantly fighting us. But there ought to be something that when I fall down, I want to get back up. There ought to be something that when I lost, I want to win. Now, I don't know about you, but it doesn't matter what it is. I want to win. I'm playing the other day, I was with the seniors. And we were going somewhere with them. And so we played the ABC game. And my sight's not like what it used to be. And so I can't see things that are coming. The ABC game is where you look for a letter of the alphabet, either on a license plate or on a billboard. It has to be the first letter. It can't be the last. And I don't know. There's a few different rules that are to that. And then the first one gets to Z. Well, I want to tell you something. If I'm driving, I'm going to win. Because I can slow the car down or I can speed it up. But when I was playing the other day, I could not win because I could not see the alphabet coming. And I'm telling you, it really irritates me. And you're thinking to yourself, it should not irritate you. It's just a game. That is your problem. It's just a game. All right. Now, I'm not saying lose your Christianity over your game. OK, I'm not talking about having bad sportsmanship. I'm not talking about cussing or losing your temper. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about you ought to want to win. Now, I want to just tell you that in your Christian life, you ought to want to win. You ought to want to be the best that God wants for you to be in your life. You ought not want to lose to the devil, the world, the flesh, as far as these things. And that's what this verse is talking about, that we can be an overcomer. We can be the person who's on top. And by the way, I've read the rest of the book. We win, by the way. And when I say we, God wins. You read the book of Revelation. It's interesting how the book of Revelation, it talks about how those that are in the last days during the tribulation period, they're going to look to the Antichrist and they're going to say, who can go against the Antichrist? And every time I read that, I say, Jesus. Because when it comes to the battle of Armageddon, Christ wins. Now, understand here what the phrase is talking about here. Let's pick it up back up in verse number 4. In verse number 4, the Bible says this. It says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is that that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, church family, I want to talk about the three thoughts that are mentioned just in those two verses this morning. The what, the how, and the who. All right. Now, I think it's pretty noticeable. the what, the how, and the who of the overcomer. So he that overcometh, what are we to overcome? What are we supposed to get the victory over? Look at your Bible again in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the what? Overcometh the world. Now, church, I mean, the world is not referring to the earth that you're walking upon as far as the globe or the world. It's talking about the sinful philosophy, the worldliness that comes along with mankind is what it's referring to. So when he's talking about the world, that we're supposed to be in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. And I want to tell you, we as Christians, if we're not careful, we get accustomed to losing. In other words, losing in our Christian life as far as what we know we're not supposed to do, that the world has influenced us on. But I'm just trying to tell you, you can have the victory. You can overcome the world. Now, again, he makes it very clear that this world idea or philosophy is what we're against. So, I mean, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, reminded them that they're in the world, they're not supposed to be of the world. We go through the passages of Scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world. All right? In other words, God says, I don't want you to fashion yourself like the world. So, I mean, you came to church on Sunday morning, but can I tell you, you're going to walk back out those doors and be in the world. And God does not want us to be like the world. We don't come to be Christians because we're inside the auditorium. We're Christians in the auditorium as well as outside the auditorium. And God says, I don't want you to be like or conform to the world. What does he say in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15? He says this. I know this is the same book you're in. You can read it if you want. Chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. In other words, the word love. Do not set your affection on the things of the world. We're supposed to set our affections on the things that are above. Spiritual things, not worldly things. Godly things, not temporal things. And so again, he talks about this idea of, listen, you can overcome the world. I want to tell you something. Christians have this mentality that the world's your friend. The mankind as a whole, when we talk about the world's philosophy and ideas, and think that's not your friend. We work with them on a regular basis, and on a regular basis we go out into the world and we think they care about you. I want to tell you something. The Christian should be a novelty. The majority of people are going to die and go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ, not the majority of people going to heaven. The minority are those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The majority of the people who don't believe Jesus was the Son of God, who came to earth to die for our sin and paid our sin's penalty on himself. They don't believe that. Now, church, what are we supposed to do as a church? We're supposed to tell as many people as we possibly can, Jesus is the only way to heaven. You can come to church and still go to hell. You can be a Baptist and still go to hell. We don't get to heaven because of our religion. We get to heaven because of the person of Jesus Christ, who when he died on the cross took our sin upon himself and paid sin's penalty. You can't die for me. I can't die for you. Why? Because we're all sinners. The reason Jesus could die is because he was the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. I was 11 years old when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You don't get saved and get saved and get saved and get saved. You don't get born again, born again, born again, born again. There's been a time in your life where you realized you were a sinner and that Jesus died for you. And you realize that because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, that's what causes you and guarantees your salvation, guarantees you a home in heaven. It's not just the thought of that, it's the belief of that. Amen. Amen. We talk about Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt what? Believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Our salvation is based upon faith, a belief, an assurance, a persuasion that what the Bible says is true. That's why we know we're going to heaven. 1 John chapter 5, we're farther down in the chapter. If you've got your Bible open, look at verse 13. These things have I written unto you. That's the word of God. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. I want to tell you something. The Christian ought to be the happiest person in the world because of what they know. There's people out there trying to work their way to heaven and live a good life and think they're going to get some merit with God because they treat people well. You don't get to heaven because of your merit. You get to heaven because of God's merit. Jesus paid the penalty. You understand that when you got saved, you became a child of God. And before you became a child of God, you were a child of Satan. All of us were a child of... Jesus said that. Ye are of your father, the devil. That's what he told the Pharisees. Church, I mean, we have the God of this world, little g. We're part of that before we get saved. But when we got saved, we were adopted into God's family, according to John chapter 1, verse number 12. And when you became a child of God, you have a constant fight with the world. Church, I mean, lost people have no fight with the world because that's the world. And the God of this world is Satan and what's going on in this world that we live in. Do not be surprised because abortion or because of homosexuality or because of the this transgenderism and because of all the things that are contrary to the Word of God. This is not hate crimes. I want to tell you something. If these things are wrong or right, it's not based upon what a person thinks. It's based upon what the Bible thinks. You understand, the world is what we, as a Christian, we go back out into the world, and it's a constant struggle and a constant fight. I shouldn't see that. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't say that. Amen. You understand, it's because the world is not your friend. If you have your Bible, I want you to read this one with me. John chapter 15, if you'll flip over there. John chapter 15. In the Gospel of John chapter 15, look at verse number 18 with me. Jesus is speaking. John chapter 15, verse number 18. The Bible says this in verse number 18. If the world hate you, who's speaking again? Jesus. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, what would happen? The world love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, what happens? The world hated you. I'm amazed how many Christians are just comfortable out in the world. Jesus said that's not how it works. If you don't turn to it, but a couple pages over in John chapter 17, verse 14. He says, I have given them thy word, and the world hated them. He's not just talking about the disciples that were with Jesus during his day. He's talking about every believer that put their faith and trust in Christ. You know, sometimes a Christian, they'll get fired from their job or they'll get put on the blacklist at work. And I want to tell you, I know sometimes it's our own character. If you don't show up on time, you're not going to be liked when it comes to your job. If you're stealing from work, they're not going to like you. But can I tell you, if you act like a Christian, and like what a Christian should do, they're not going to like that either. Why? The world hateth you. So what's he talking about in 1 John chapter 5 when he makes it very, verse number 4 and 5, when he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Do you know the reason we have to win, get the victory, prevail, is because the world is against what we believe. Do you know politics is not what's going to change this world. What's going to change this world is Jesus Christ. Because as a person gets saved, they're supposed to start living for and like Christ. Ye are the light of the world. That's what he said. Didn't that what Jesus said? Ye are the light of the world. In fact, in Matthew 5, verse number 16, he said, let your light so shine before what? Before men. Before the world. The world is what we're in need of overcoming. You know, how many times, listen, I have to hustle because the kids... Brother Dunlap is going to get done today, and the kids are going to go bowling. I know there's some of the kids that came on the buses. They're going bowling this morning, okay? And again, I know I'm not trying to limit the Holy Spirit, so I'm going to hurry this morning. So I need you to stay with me. You know, isn't it interesting that in the Old Testament, we look at the Canaan land, the children of Israel, they leave Egypt, they're on their way to Canaan. And as they're on their way to Canaan land, you know, sometimes people like to spiritualize the Old Testament, and they say, okay, that's us. You know, we got saved out of Egypt and we're living the Christian life through the wilderness and we're working our way to get to Canaan in heaven. That's not the picture, folks. We came out of Egypt the day you got saved and the blood was put on the doorpost, just like the blood of Jesus Christ is what covers us. The Passover lamb was Jesus Christ. We got saved. There was a day of salvation. If you're in the wilderness, I wouldn't want to stay there. That's where they doubted God. That's where Moses had to hit a rock so water would come out of it for God's people. That's where they were serving the golden calf. The wilderness is where they wandered for 40 years. If that's the Christian life, I don't want it. Canaan land is the picture of the victorious Christian life. By the way, Canaan land can't be heaven because they got to Canaan and then they got kicked out and they ended up in Babylon and Assyria. I'm not getting kicked out of heaven. Canaan is a picture of the victorious Christian life, where they were given things that were given to them by God they didn't work for. It's where there's a land that flowed with milk and honey. It was the blessed Christian life. That's what we're supposed to live for, is that we would have God's blessing upon our life. But can I just tell you, Canaan land was still the world. Can I just tell you that the life that you're living right now is, yes, it's the world, and it's going to have its lost people in it, and it's going to have its unbelievers in it, it's going to have its problems in it. But you can still live a victorious Christian life that is a land of flowing, you can have joy, and you can have God's goodness in your life. But you will always be fighting the world. Let me, can I rephrase that last statement? Just, I mean, we don't have to do the fighting, but it is a fight. Now, I want you to notice, here's the second thing. First of all, I noticed in this passage here, the what, as far as overcoming. What are we overcoming? We're overcoming the world. But how do we overcome the world? Look at verse 4 again. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? So, church family, if you're going to overcome the world, what's it going to take? It's going to take faith. So what we need to overcome is the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is what draws me to wanting to do and to see and to act like a Christian should not do. It's that drawing of sinfulness and ungodliness. You say, I know what you're thinking. Why don't God just, how come when we get saved, God just doesn't take us home? Church family, God did not take you home the day you got saved so that you could still be light and salt in this earth, because there's still people without the Lord Jesus Christ. There's still people that don't know Him, and so God left us here to influence the world. And listen, this morning's message should not be a discouraging lesson. Oh man, Pastor, I tell you what, I just can't make it in this world. There's so many draws to the world that I want to do that I know I shouldn't do. Welcome to Christianity. When you got saved, you didn't lose your desire for wrong. You just got something that could help you combat it. When you got saved, you didn't eradicate the flesh. That flesh is still there. The world that we're living in still has draws for us as Christians that want to take us the wrong direction in our life. Hey, listen, it takes a Christian to say, I can win. I can overcome the world. How do you overcome the world? It's your faith. It's your faith. You heard me say a few moments ago, the same faith it took for you to get saved is the same faith that you live by. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by faith. We understand that the Christian life is a faith walk. In other words, it took faith for me to get saved. It's going to take faith for me to live the Christian life. But you're telling me it's that same faith that helps me overcome. I played basketball when I was in school. My mom, she's not here this morning, is she? Okay. Mom went to the hospital last night for a few minutes. She's got dehydrated, so I was at the hospital a little bit. And I'm standing in the emergency room in her little room there, and the nurse comes in. And my mother says, this is my son. And I don't know where she went off. I don't know, she's having a delirious moment. She says, and he was a great basketball player. I have no idea where that came from. And then she goes on, they retired his jersey. His number was number 30. And she's going on and on and on. And I said, Mom, the nurse is not here to find out my history of life. And she loves me. The nurse smiled. But anyway, she was going through all of that. But you know, when I was playing basketball, I played it as a junior high, I played in junior varsity, I played in varsity, I played in college, and I enjoyed the game. But there were a few times when we played that a team actually had somebody who had talent. Now I want to just tell you something. There's a difference between playing a sport and working at it, and there's a difference between playing a sport and somebody is natural at it. I remember playing against a team one time, and I just could not believe it. The way the fella moved, it was so smooth. It was like by design. His thinking pattern of where the ball was going to go before it got there, and which way a person was going to run before they left. I've never seen anybody play like that. But this young man, I played against him. He had natural talent. It's like he didn't have to work at it. I want to tell you something. There's a lot of teams that they're always looking for that secret weapon. The person who's got talent. He doesn't just have to work. He's got talent. There's a naturalness about him. That's the guy we want. And when they show up on the court and it's the first time you play against them, you say to yourself, where did that come from? Church, I mean, can I just tell you, you have a secret weapon. The world can't understand it. The average Christian doesn't even see it. But the thing that causes you to win the game, to overcome the world, is your faith. It's a persuasion and an assurance of the Word of God that when you claim the promises of God, it helps me to be able to overcome the world and to win. Church, you remember the verse that, I can't quote the previous one. You remember how many times, you know the verse, all right? I'm going to have you turn to it because you know the second verse. I want you to see the previous verse. Turn to John chapter 17 again if you're not already there. John chapter 17, I want you to see what the Bible says. In John 17, 17, while you're turning there, the verse that you already know is, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth, right? In other words, what's going to set us apart as a Christian is the word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. But we never look at the previous verse of John chapter 17. Look at verse 16. Jesus said this, they are not of the what? Even as I am not of the world. Then he says, because you're not of the world, like I'm not of the world, he's praying this to the Father, sanctify them, the disciples, through thy truth, thy word is what? Church, can I just tell you, your secret weapon is faith, which is the persuasion or assurance of what the word of God says. If you don't read the word of God, you don't strengthen your faith, and if you don't have faith, you don't overcome the world. I just can't get the victory over this particular sin in my life. Yes, you could, because you've got the weapon. Listen to me. The weapon is our faith, our belief in the Word of God and what God has for our life. I can overcome the world. Why? Because of my faith. All right, follow me now. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our, say it, Lord Jesus Christ. You know what gives us the victory in our life? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word. Just remember, who was the Word, the walking Word, in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Who was it? Jesus Christ. Jesus is no longer here, but He gave us His Word. And the same thing that strengthened the disciples, which was the living Word, Jesus Christ, is the same thing that strengthens us as Christians these days now. It's called the written Word of God. It's the written. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the. The more I put the word in, the stronger my faith gets. And the stronger my faith gets, the more I overcome the world. What am I trying to overcome? There is always a constant draw from the world to get us as Christians to run from God instead of going to God. How do I overcome that? Faith. A belief in the Word of God, that what God's telling me is what He wants for my life. Just remember, if we talk in person and you hear what I have to say, okay, that's what Pastor Hank said. But why is it when we read the Word of God, we don't understand that that's not what a book said, it's what God said. So, the what, as far as what are we supposed to overcome, is the world. How do we overcome the world? It's by faith. By faith. Last of all, I want you to see the who. Just show me in verse, what's the first word in verse 5? I'm back in the 1 John chapter 5, verse number 5. First word, who is he that overcometh the world? Now, it's going to answer your question. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that what? Believeth that Jesus is what? Church, I mean, John makes the same statement in verse number 4. Verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world. Hey, can I tell you this morning, you can't even begin to overcome the world, and first of all, you become a child of God. Now listen, I don't know you this morning. There's several visitors this morning, and I'm glad that you're here this morning. Church is for two reasons. The reason God created or made the church is for two reasons. Number one is so that people could be saved. And number two, so that Christians could grow in their faith. Now, I don't know which one you are this morning. But I can tell you right now, you're not saved because you're a good person. The only reason you're saved is because you've been born again. Born again. When Brother Dunlap spoke this morning during Sunday school, follow me now, he said this morning that between the ages of 4 and 14, I believe it was, is 85% people get saved between the ages of 4 and 14. How many of you this morning, you got saved between the ages of 4 and 14? Raise your hand. Look at the hands. 85% probably. But can I tell you, God's not limited to you getting saved between the ages of 4 and 14. So you sit in a service, you already know Jesus died on a cross. But do you believe that the reason he died on that cross was for you and your sin? There's a difference. You say, well, I know who Pastor Hanks is, but you don't really know Pastor Hanks. You just know who he is. Can I just tell you, there's people all around the world, the globe, in all kinds of countries. They know who Jesus Christ is, but they don't really know Jesus Christ. Because knowing Christ means you put your faith in Christ. You believe that he died for you personally. Can I just tell you this morning that you can never overcome the world? Just let me think for a second here. People go to AA, Alcoholic Anonymous. I always have it. Anonymous? Don't laugh at me. I'll get it. There's people who go to all these programs, these self-help programs. People are looking for ways to overcome the world without being saved. Alcoholic Anonymous, they try to tell you that it doesn't matter what you believe in. If you want to believe that the doorknob is God, then it's okay. It's not okay. Because what helps us overcome temptation and sin and the world and our flesh, what helps us overcome that thing is our faith, and that faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. I can do all things through which strengtheneth me. All things, not some things, all things. Excuse me, would you turn over to Revelation? You could preach a whole message on this, and I can't this morning, okay? Can I take just a couple minutes, though? Revelation chapter 3. You that have been saved a long time, this is not new to you, but Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Revelation 2 and 3 are the seven churches of Asia Minor. Don't have time to teach this morning. But isn't it interesting that at the end of every one of the churches, when John was writing to these churches, at the end of every one, he talks about the overcomer. The person who overcame, Revelation chapter 2. Look at these quickly with me. Verse chapter 2. And jump down to verse number 7, the church at Ephesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here's the overcomer. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Church, you know what the tree of life was for? It was what gave eternal life. Who is the overcomer? The person who's been born again. Look what he says in chapter 2 there. Look down in verse number 11, the overcomer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here he is. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Church family, if you're an overcomer, guess what? You have to be saved. And if you're saved, guess what? You're not going to have to spend 1 second in hell. Look at the next thing. Chapter number 2, verse 17. The overcomer. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here he is. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. All right? You got a new name the day you got saved because you became a child of God. Look at verse number, next one, chapter 2. Look at verse 26 with me. He says in verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Talking about the millennial reign of Christ. Power, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter. Shall he be broken to shivers as I received of my Father. Look at chapter 3, verse number 5, the church at Sardis. Chapter 3, verse number 5. What does he say? He says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Go to the next one, chapter 3, verse number 12, the church at Philadelphia. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Chapter 3, verse 21, the last one, church of Laodicea. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, and even as I overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. You know what he's saying to every one of these churches? It doesn't matter if you're during the church of Ephesus, the apostolic time. He said, it doesn't matter if you're in the church of Smyrna during the persecuted time, during the 10 Roman persecutions. He says, it doesn't matter if you're in the church of Pergamos, where the word Pergamos means marriage, where the church, the state church tried to join with Christianity, going back to Constantine, 315 AD. He says, I don't care if you're the church of Thyatira, which means continual sacrifice. We've gotten to the Roman Catholic idea of continually sacrificing Jesus on the cross. He says, I don't care if you're in the church of Sardis. I don't care if you're in the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, which, believe it or not, in the early 1900s, churches loved people. I don't care if you're in the church of Laodicea, where we're living right now, the lukewarm, I want to spew you out of my mouth type of church. In every one of those churches, there were overcomers. People who were saved, born again, that will be with Christ, sit on a throne, during the millennium reign with Christ. Hey, can I tell you this morning, the only way you become an overcomer is if you get saved. And then once you get saved, what should you be overcoming? The world. And once you're saved and know who you're supposed to overcome, how do you do it? By faith. It's the Word of God. Hey, God wants you to be an overcomer. Can I say it this way? He wants you to win. How do they do that? Loser. Loser. Hey, can I tell you something? God's not a loser. He's a winner. And if you're a child of God, you're a winner. And I want to tell you, you're already a winner if you're saved because your name's written in heaven. But you know what caused you to be a winner in this life? It's your faith that overcomes the world. It's your faith. How's your faith this morning? Have you gotten used to the world? Let it do what it's going to do? Hey, can I tell you something? That faith in that book right there is what caused you to get the victory over the world. Hey, you don't have to leave, you know, with your head down, discouraged, all upset about what's going on around us in the world, what's going on with you personally in your world. Yeah. I know how this thing ends. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's already prepared a place for me. I'm going to come back on white horses and during the millennium get to reign with him. But then after that 1,000 years, Christ said there's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and New Jerusalem's going to come down and he will be with me. I already know how this ends. So why do I have to live life like this? Where it's such a bad place and I just don't know what's going to happen yet. The economy's going all over the place and there's going to be war in the Middle East and they're going to be World War III and I just... Guess what? I'm an overcomer. I've already won. So what do I do now? I'm in the world, not of it. I understand the world's my enemy. This world philosophy, worldliness. By your faith. You don't trust God. Your persuasion needs to be in Him. I can't, but He can. And He will. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning?